news station, WCNO, Palm City.
To join another in holy matrimony. And God knits two hearts together, and you're much, much stronger together. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I mean, of course, yes. The third strand is the Lord himself. So, but the bottom line is, but it's also the hardest thing that you'll ever do. It's the best thing because you fulfill your destiny, in essence, by finding this other person and getting married. But it's also the hardest thing because I think the devil is in the game of trying to break up marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the house divided cannot stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think part of the reason I've had a lot of time to think about this because, of course, the ultimate resolution of human history is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so you have this ultimate goal where we're all headed, which is to be married as the bride of Christ. And so because it's such a beautiful outward sign of where we're going, and that marriage itself becomes this outward sign of this thing that Jesus is going to do, the devil is absolutely committed to breaking up marriage.
And families. I mean, that's why this whole his attack is on the family.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because it's a divine thing.
Well, it's the foreshadowing of the marriage of Jesus. Right. Did you know the Hebrews, in case somebody didn't know this, with the Hebrews, what they would do is, if someone's going, this young man wants to marry this young man wants to marry this woman, right? And so he comes to her house and puts out a glass of wine. And if she drinks it, she is agreeing to the covenant mm-hmm. that she will marry him. Then he goes to prepare a place for them.
Mm-hmm.
He might return in 6 hours, 6 days, 6 months, right. 6 years. But they're betrothed, right?
Betrothal.
And so,
yeah.
and then he comes in a shout in the night. They know not when.
Right.
But what he did was so Jesus came, and gave us his bride, the wine,
mm-hmm.
Which represents his blood,
mm-hmm.
and then when we drink and make covenant with him. Then he says, remember, he says right in the scripture, I go to prepare a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Right.
And so, and he will return with a shout, it says, you know, and they had this video on YouTube I saw yesterday, this lady sitting on her couch, and it said like for the saved or something, and all of a sudden, and this trumpet's going, and she jumps up, and she's in her kitchen, looks out the window, looking for Jesus to arrive in the sky, and poof, she disappears. Because some people believe, you know, that that's going to happen with the, what, I don't know all that stuff that people have conjecture about, what the coming of Christ, and the
right.
dead will so rise, and
right.
meet him in the
yeah.
air, whatever, I don't know. I don't really want to get into that controversy. But
that's another conversation.
Yeah,
altogether.
Because, you know, people would say that they figured out when Jesus is coming back, then I go, well, I think you might have a wee little bit of problem with pride, because you see, Jesus said, even I don't know, only the Father knows. So if you have conjecture when he's going to come back, you are exalting yourself above Jesus himself, who said, I know not when I will return. Only the Father knows. That's it.
Right.
Get yeah. over it and just
yes,
live the day and go feed somebody that's hungry.
So, like, okay.
I'm just going to finish this point.
Yes,
so,
yes, go.
And then I want you to jump in. So the
right.
key thing here is, to me, so I said marriage is hard, and right, and so we went on this rabbit trail.
Yeah.
But the fact that Jesus spoke to me when I was painting that room became a powerful personal encounter with him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that every time we faced trouble in our marriage,
you went and painted.
Everyone faces trouble and yeah. painful trials in yeah. their marriage.
Oh, yes.
I could look back to that time
yeah.
and say, the Lord Jesus, you told me to marry her.
Yeah, you're to blame for this.
it's not to blame him, but to say, I know
yeah.
that you're bigger
than
the trouble that we're facing together. And so, and it relates to healing ministry in the sense that when you have a personal encounter with Jesus, all of a sudden, the fact that you had a personal encounter with Jesus at the altar rail in some ways really supersedes even whatever sickness or illness.
Doesn't
you walk
matter.
Away. It's like, I met or I had an experience with Jesus, that's the most important thing. The presence of Jesus.
The presence.
And not that we don't want people to get healed, because we want them to get healed, but we want, really more than anything else, we want them to have a personal encounter with Jesus.
Okay, there are two bunny trails I'd like to take on that. One, very shortly, because I know we can get into this in another time, is often people will come to the rail and they have something wrong with their leg, their arm, they have an illness and they would like to be healed. And Jesus wants them to find out where this came from, because so often, emotional things are even at the root of that illness. Yeah. And if you go through some studies, you find that they say 85% of all illness is probably psychosomatic in some way, which means to me, wow, there's spiritual problems here. There are things that need to be healed, whether it's trauma in life. It could be unforgiveness, and unforgiveness is traumatic all into itself, to not be able to let go of pain and sorrow. And have unforgiveness it's very painful for the person who can't forgive. And I think people even hesitate coming to the altar because of things like that. But that is sometimes where we need to go to really get to that healing, is we need to get rid of the unforgiveness. We need to get to the trauma. Jesus wants to dig deep and peel back the onion.
Sometimes that takes a lot of time.
And sometimes it does.
Sometimes it does not.
That's right. That's right. But all of those things can happen with a little step in courage, okay, mm-hmm. which kind of bunny trails me to the next thing I wanted to say, and that is that if you are just beginning this process, this journey of knowing Jesus, of trying to have faith, you're like, okay, I want this faith they have. I want to be healed. I think the very first place that I would recommend people start is to begin to grasp the power of prayer. And so I like to lead people there who are just starting. I want to say, okay, look, God wants you to understand the power of prayer. He wants you to know that He promises that He hears you and mm-hmm. He will be faithful. Mm-hmm. He will answer you in some way.
A little tardy. It's about 1 minute to midnight when it comes.
Yeah. And
usually.
Yes. And so this power of prayer is where I like to start with people, so they can build, because we start with this place where we are petitioning God for ourselves, and then God takes us to another level where we are intervening for others, and then He takes us to this next level, which is ushering in the presence of God and healing. And so I think we start with prayer, and we are looking for that divine encounter. We are looking for that divine encounter. And I think Jesus is faithful and He does show up.
Now, when I don't know how to pray, I go to what Jesus said when they said, how do you pray? And He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Period, right? No, a lot of people miss this. Then He says, and I tell you, there was a man who had visitors, and they came at midnight. And he said, well, I have to feed my visitor. So he goes to the baker. He goes down the street. Hey, Moish, I need some bread for my visitors. Come back tomorrow, Abraham. No, I need it tonight. Come back tomorrow in the morning. I have to feed them tonight. Oh, okay, I'll come down and give you bread. So, and then there's this, and that's in one of the Gospels. Another one of the Gospels, He says, this lady goes to see this unjust judge. And she says, I want justice. I want justice. And he says, get that woman out of my court. Next day she comes back. I want justice. Get that woman out of the court. Third day she comes back. I want justice. He says, come here, woman. He says, I do not fear neither God nor man, but because of your continually coming, I will give you justice. That's how. But I want to know.
Because you're wearing me out.
You're wearing me out.
Yeah. And not with false repetition, but.
So I've done a little bit of studying about that passage, which is interesting because the word that he uses, the unjust judge uses, is because of your shameless audacity.
Yeah, oh, really?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so this is what the Lord wants
your
us
shameless
to have.
Audacity. Come boldly to the throne of grace.
And can I interrupt just to say that shameless audacity is really the faith God wants us to have. God wants to show off.
Shameless audacity.
He wants us to ask for bold prayers. He is a bold God.
Yeah, well, it's Proverbs 28:1. Right? The wicked flee, though no one pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
Yeah.
Wow,
I think that a lot of people are like, oh, no, I can't. Well,
shamelessly.
I don't want to bother God. I can't tell you how many times people say, oh, he's got more important things
to do than
to deal with my.
I have fallen into that my latter years. Oh, well, there's children starving across the world. I have no right to ask for this. I mean, if you're a dishwasher at McDonald's in America, you're wealthy. Yeah. I mean, more than 99.99% of the world. If you've been on any missionary trips to third world nations, as I have, the majority of the world woke up this morning with dirt floors.
Yes, but Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
He loves Roberta. He loves me. And he loves it when we have a shameless audacity.
I'm writing that one down. Oh, man.
Him. Yes. Yes.
Shameless. Now, I venture to tell you, at this day, I will remember the remainder of my days on earth. Shameless audacity. Now, that's where did you find that? Is that expounded from the scriptures? Is that the original Hebrew or Greek or?
Yeah, so I'm fairly certain that I was probably studying to preach on that message of the unjust judge. And of course,
and that woman that continued to come for him.
She continued to come, and because of you, I don't fear God nor man, but because of your shameless audacity, right? I will give you justice. And the key thing is, what you want to do in preaching is you want to help people to understand.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Surprise!